Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 844. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, well, you know, I suppose it's a little bit weird when you have a guest on one week and you've got to come back to the usual job the very next week. I'll tell you what, I decided to watch Rampage today, even though I know you don't watch it. And even by my standards, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on here? And I feel like there's been floating out there the idea of them getting another at least hour show.
Oh, no, it's going to be a two-hour primetime show on Saturdays, which no one's attempted in a very long time. But the hot rumor is there is going to be at least a soft brand split from AEW that will allow for CM Punk to return and keep him away from everyone who hates him.
Yes, that definitely has been part of the story here, which certainly has its own levels of intrigue because I feel like the idea was floated out there about his possible return, and I anything's possible. It would make sense to me, I guess.
I think it makes perfect sense certainly from Tony Khan's standpoint, because we're very deep into this. They cannot get rid of that man without paying him a lot of money. So if he's willing to come back and work, they should probably put him to work and get some value out of that money.
Yeah, especially since he was I still think he is a little full of himself, but he was a top merch mover, you know. And
I mean, he's the undisputed top guy in that company for the time he was there. I mean, yeah. No doubt. I mean, he is, John Cena's not walking through that door. Brock Lesnar's not walking through that door. Roman Reigns isn't even walking through that door. CM Punk is the biggest star that they have available to them.
Yeah.
Hopefully can still go, although two back-to-back injuries does make you, on top of all of the baggage Punk brings, the man did have two back-to-back injuries. Two different back-to-back injuries. So you have to question his durability at this point. But once again, you know what? He's under contract. They have to pay him anyway. He sounds like it sounds like from his quote unquote his camp, whoever that is anymore.
it's well, FTR is on that list. I'm not quite sure who else is there after that.
I think they're the entire list. But yes, we're from, and of course Jericho's playing both sides here, and that's how he comes out on top.
this does not surprise me in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone, the elite and everyone on their sides are still being just fucking crybabies about this shit. Just like, grow up and be adults, for fuck's sake. Jesus.
they all seem a little salty about the whole situation. Because, I mean, I even feel like Kenny Omega mentioned something where it's just like, really, dude? Like, doesn't make sense to me. It's wrestling. People have had vendettas like this left and right, and then they've gone on to work each other. It would take us too long of a podcast to name all of the rivalries that spawned from this type of thing happening.
Absolutely. But it doesn't sound like for now, like they'll like Punk, like Omega and the Young Bucks want to play ball with Punk, so they're gonna try to keep the sides separate, which fine if it can work for them. They have a big enough roster.
Of course, you
even factoring out ROH, but you sometimes Tony Khan is going to be producing a lot of television. if you include ROH, it is definitely more TV than WWE at this point. 2 hours as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a poop ton that he's got his hands on. I don't know how. I've talked about it for a while. I don't know how one man can actually do that, you know, and definitely not be able to do it well. Like that's kind of a lot going into.
And he is, and only 2 hours of his television at this point matters within AEW. ROH is its own separate thing. I see myself joining Honor Club, so I will probably never actually watch their weekly show. But it's there for the people who want to watch it, and it's, you know, it's the A show for ROH, which is the satellite. It's just it's still kind of messy because so many people from ROH are still appearing on AEW. You know, the ROH champion is a heavily pushed AEW wrestler right now who essentially can't lose the ROH title while he's in a main angle in AEW. You know, so once again, Eddie Kingston, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. He still loses that last big match earlier in the month, and it's like, yeah, it's definitely some conflicts of interest here, definitely some complications. But if you're going to commit yourself to a 2-hour, I assume, live primetime show, you can't let it go the way of Rampage. And if you're going to feature Punk on it and put more of your top talent on that, split your talent in half, essentially.
There are still, like, I still don't know what happened to, why I'm blanking on what Rusev changed his name to.
That's
Miro.
Miro.
Yeah.
His real name, yes. But yes. Yeah, I don't understand that.
Like, he's been gone for whatever, I suppose. What's his name? Andrade's still injured? Question mark?
Well, he was suspended for the fight with Sammy Guevara. I don't know if he's injured or not. I don't. Once again, there's at least two people there being paid a lot of money to sit at home because they can't get along with with other people on the roster, or Miro just doesn't want to be put in this situation where he's, you know, loses more than he wins, and then they're basically saying, okay, then you can just sit at home, and it's just it's really amazing. Once again, I made this point before, but it bears repeating. WWE has lost, did lose, maybe gained back, maybe lost again, Vince McMahon as a regular presence at TV. And they didn't miss a beat. And you could argue that things improved. Meanwhile, AEW had this brawl-out scenario, you know, and a number of things, you know, built for months towards it. And they've never recovered from it. It's amazing to think about, you know. This childish bullshit has basically harmed the company. I don't want to say irreparably because I think that's taking it too far, but we are nearly 8 months past going on a full year after the end of the summer, and it still doesn't feel like they've righted the ship. We've still got Britt Baker talking shit about, you know, Thunder Rosa every chance she gets. We've had multiple backstage fights since. Two of which involving Sammy Guevara, who, of course, because he's friends with Jericho, suffered no, and a favorite of Tony Khan, suffered no consequences for. The other guys did.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's still a mess, and I can't believe that. Losing Punk's one thing, but it's the show has so little going for it consistently. The Blackpool Combat Club storyline right now is probably easily the strongest thing they have. Everything else, the shows can still be good, but you're just basically pushing the buttons on the random match generator. You know, it's just, you know, who can fill 15, 20 minutes? You know, because there's no real consistent storylines, strong consistent storylines happening in AEW other than the Blackpool Combat stuff at this point.
Yeah, and that isn't always. I still don't completely understand their end game. you know, other than just beating people up.
That just seems like they want to beat people up and make wrestling tough again or what have you. And you know what? And you know, the people who have been accused of being some of the softest people in wrestling, Omega and the Bucks have been their target. And you know, I really am interested in seeing this once they all start having matches against each other. Once they do the whatever chaotic brawl match or their War Games rip off, I want to see Omega and the Bucks fight like, you know, wrestling, acting like they're in a fight. They're fighting like their lives depend on it. I want to see that.
Yeah, it's definitely something that for all of the five-star matches that that Kenny Omega has had, would you maybe say that the brawl with Chris Jericho, because didn't he have a match with Chris Jericho in Japan?
Yeah, that match ended up being anything goes. It was good. It was a good match. I mean, once again, we're 2018 Chris Jericho at that point, and only 5 years older now. You know, you're not going to get the great technical wrestling match anymore. You know, Jericho.
No.
So you know, they did what they could with that. I mean, Omega's had some good brawls with Moxley or I think was Eddie Kingston at one point or Janela, things like that.
Oh yeah, he did have a couple of good matches with Joey Janela way back at the beginning of AEW, like literally. Yeah,
and the Bucks have done some tag team street fights. Obviously, they've been in a lot of ladder matches and things of that nature. I mean, but those were also, you know, a lot of those were also more stunt fests than a brawl. And so it'll be interesting if they can brawl, if they can work their stuff into a match with the Blackpool Combat Club guy, you know, and make it work. I am looking forward to seeing that. So right now, it actually wouldn't make sense for Punk to come back imminently and, you know, get involved with them. Punk would have to come back as the heel, and I don't know. That's going to be an interesting situation. You know, outside of Chicago, how will AEW fans react to CM Punk?
Yeah, I mean, they are an interesting bunch. I think that's been gone over a lot in this show too, because you know that there is definitely a blurred line of heel and babyface in that company. And a lot of it's due to just the fans just cheering whoever they want to.
They absolutely do, because way more than WWE, AEW has cultivated a cult-like, you know, following of people who will see CM Punk as someone who betrayed the spirit of AEW and blah 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 blah, you know, or they're elite fans and more elite fans it sounds like AEW has at least one date in Chicago coming up. That might be the date they bring Punk back. I mean, that's not until June, I think right before Forbidden Door. No. I might want to bring Punk back by Double or Nothing, but of course, if Punk's going to be on this new show that's not starting until July, I believe, then you probably have Punk sit out Double or Nothing. I mean, Punk had probably the most well-timed injury in wrestling history. I mean, he was going to be out for over 6 months anyway, no matter what happened the rest of that night.
Yeah, if things had been mundane the rest of that night, he was still gone for half a year. Minimum.
Yes. Yes. So there, you know.
Yeah.
So there's the, you know, Punk just got to sit out, you know, getting his money while he was injured. And he didn't have to deal with that, you know, the whole, will he come to work? Won't he come to work? And now that he's about to be, you know, medically cleared, he is shouting from the rooftops, apparently, that he is ready to return. Which is smart on his part, no matter what happens, because as long as he's not refusing to come back to work, he is in no means in breach of contract.
Oh. Yeah. It does seem like one of those ones where you want to time things correctly and set things up. It does feel like, I mean, July. Well, I guess July isn't that far off to hold him up from coming back. And when's Double or Nothing?
Double or Nothing is the last
June?
Sunday in May, right before Memorial Day, and then Forbidden Door is in June, like 4 weeks later.
Okay, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what shows he'd be missing if they really didn't have him pop up until July. But that, I mean, again, depending upon how everyone's acting on the main roster, I guess that's all that kind of matters in this situation, you know? How they're going to partition off this roster if that's indeedy the way that it has to go.
This is amazing.
Oh.
I've never seen anything like. I mean, obviously WWE has done their brand extensions multiple, has attempted this multiple times, but it was just simply for the what they felt was the good of the company, and they had ideas regarding merchandising, your ideas regarding running two house shows a night and all that, and having separate championships and separate pay-per-views. This is purely to mollify, if that's the right word, four people. Five if you count Hangman Page.
Yeah. I mean, again, they really, I think, have the roster that they could probably pull this off. But when Rampage is as bad as it was this past week, I just go, how is this gonna happen? You know? Like, all of that time that Tony Khan is filling right now, I don't think all of it is quality.
No, it's not. It is not. Once again, it purely depends on, I want to put Kenny Omega against this, Lucha superstar, or bring over someone from Japan, and it's like, give them 15, 20 minutes, and it's like, telling, in 1998, telling Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa to hit a dinger, it's like. You're not actually writing good television. You're not actually, having strong storylines. You're not building characters. You're not doing things that are going to, bring business up from where they are, because, it's been proven over and over again. Long wrestling matches are not what brings in the people. What causes boom periods? It is characters and storylines.
Yeah, and I mean, in no way does it surprise me. I understand why you talk about Hogan and his terrible matches with disdain for, various and sundry reasons. But yeah, like all the guys that you can name that are popular were great talkers. You know, if you want to put Ric Flair on the top of your mountain, have at it. He was a great talker. If you want to go with Stone Cold, the man, was a great talker. You want to throw The Rock on there, same thing. And I mean, even if you go with Shawn Michaels, like obviously he had some problems there in his first run, but he had a bunch of great work afterwards when he was sober, and he was still good on the mic at that time too. The most popular characters do that, and honestly, what MJF is one of the few people that has a character in AEW, like a full blown persona, you kind of know how he thinks. It's still a little bit much, I think, from time to time.
It's definitely it can be a lot much, yes.
But at least he's definitely a character. There is no doubting that. But yeah, like there aren't a lot of other people on AEW TV that I can really say that about. Like I said, even with the Blackpool Combat Club, I guess I get their personas and that they're dickheads now. Yeah, again, still don't know a lot about motivation and what their end goal is. Like, that's kind of a weird thing for a group that is dominating that much of your TV time. You know, I couldn't imagine the Bloodline being completely aimless. You know, and that's kind of what the Blackpool Combat Club is. Yeah, need storylines. As much as I do appreciate the in-ring work, and I think, you know, I think we talk about that a fair amount and how much we appreciate the in-ring work these days.
But there's so much good work up and down all the major shows. It can become numbing. We need a little sizzle with that steak.
Oh, yes, we do. I suppose, is there anything else general AEW you want to talk about before moving to the WWE? I think that's
No,
kind of a nice little
we can move to the WWE. We
surprise
got a half
topic
an hour out of that surprise opening. You thankful? Thank you. I'm glad. And we never even talked about anything that actually happened on Rampage. That's great. But nobody wants to hear that. So let's move on.
Oh no, Jungle Boy and Sean Spears was the main event. That's what I'm just gonna leave it
Yeah,
at.
great. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. good for Jungle Boy for winning that one. So I guess speaking of the Bloodline, definitely still a main focus, though we have not really seen a whole lot of the Tribal Chief in the meantime. But yeah, Solo Sikoa really getting a strong push these days.
Yes, he is. Other than the match to Cody right before WrestleMania, he pretty much wins just about all of his matches. And I wouldn't have even done that match. I would have kept Solo undefeated. You might as well. That match gained them nothing. Doing the one match Solo lost on TV, you know, they gained them nothing, and they're kind of rebuilding him, although he never really lost all credibility. No, but no, he's but no, he's scoring wins left and right on TV. I mean, he's what in the last 2 weeks, what he's beaten Kevin Owens again for like the third time, I think he's beaten Owens, and then Riddle. And then Rey Mysterio. Yeah. They're definitely pushing Solo hard.
Yeah, I was like, oof, man, they are really making him look strong. I suppose it's going to be interesting. I don't know if, because I don't think he's really going to take on Gunther right now. Like, that
No.
doesn't seem like it's in the cards. And I don't really feel like, I guess that would be a good move for him if he got on the Raw roster. I definitely see the what US Championship a little more open.
Well, he's not going to be facing Austin Theory anytime soon if they're both heels. So,
Right.
yeah, there's no real. Yeah, I guess we just got to play out this whole Bloodline storyline more. I'm really concerned that Usos are going to bring the tag titles back. And then we're going to be completely reset back to, you know, months ago.
Yeah, that's that would be unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, not that I don't really know if even Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have like this great run of opponents either. The tag team division is just very weak, really. It really is weak. And the only heel team getting any real credibility is the Viking Raiders. So besides the Usos, I mean, and then the babyface teams, you know, you've just, you know, Street Profits have had, a million matches with the Usos, so no one wants to see that again.
Days had a bunch of matches with them in that two-year time frame.
Oh, the two-year time frame. We're not even talking about the 7-8-year time frame.
So. And if you really extend out the time period, we have witnessed a whole lot of New Day Usos.
Yes, we have. Always good, but yeah, it was time to move on from that too. So it's just like, it felt like we had a little bit of a tag team renaissance going for a little bit. But then, the Usos reign, other teams were split, and
they haven't.
And then the Usos reign went on and on, and they essentially were beating the same teams twice, basically.
Because there's only ever so many teams, and, you had to cycle through all of them, Definitely, the Street Profits definitely had two cracks at the championships. I might even want to say that they had three.
They had multiple because they challenged in 2021, like the fall, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then the summer of 2022, they came back. Oh. And still didn't win. I hope they don't win the tag titles back. Once again, I don't know what great teams. Actually, what would actually be really cool if at some point they did it? Roman and Solo going after the tag titles to do what the Usos couldn't do and trying to rub their faces in it.
That would be an interesting take.
Yeah, I think they could. They could run that at some point. At one of these upcoming pay-per-views, yes. They could do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would. That would be pretty fun to see happen. You can't tell if it's in the cards, but you could put it in the cards. If you decided to go that route. Especially, if the Usos lose again.
Yeah. Because remember what Paul Heyman said, and it was perfectly done, because, behind the Usos' back, he says, Roman Reigns is losing patience with you two, while they are not thinking that Paul is looking at and talking to Sammy and Kevin.
Paul Heyman is very good at his job. Another guy, you know why you're going to remember him? The guy is a really good talker.
Yes. Very good. Yes. Paul Heyman is a good talker, yes.
Really did not step into the ring as a wrestler ever, I don't think. Maybe for like a street fight, I think.
Yeah, something like that, yes. The last time they did anything like that with him was CM Punk, I think.
Yeah. So, gonna be a wrestling legend without really ever having stepped foot in the ring. Paul's doing a great job of hyping up Solo and still kind of backhanding the Usos. And I guess it will be interesting either way that they decide to lean. I suppose it'll be less interesting if they win because they just haven't had the time to, they don't have a tag team division deep enough to develop anyone, honestly. And they haven't called anyone up from NXT that was a tag team down there to kind of help out recently.
No. And there are some, just to throw easily one out there, the Creed brothers I think they're ready.
There are a lot of people that I still haven't seen a whole lot of Indushir, honestly, but it just it feels like it's time that you either run with them as a is part of your roster or you don't. And
especially after Veer got 6 months of vignettes and then debuted and then was basically gone a month later. He's been in the system quite a long time, as has his partner. What's his name?
Sanga,
yes. Sanga, maybe not as around as long, or it doesn't feel like he's been around as long.
No.
I mean, I think they were probably both signed at the same time during the tour of India or something. Yeah, so, but yeah, it's like, you know, do something with them, you know, put Jinder Mahal with them. Maybe semi-retired Jinder and put him in a managerial role. I think you could do something with that.
Well, and plus it just seems... the one reason I'm thinking about it is that the women's division, they've almost done a half-decent job of building up a women's tag division in kind of a short time period here.
NXT in general has always, even through all the transitions, has kept... You know, they do women's wrestling very well.
Well, and I'm not even just talking about the NXT women. They're doing something. I will at least say that. It's more than the men's tag team division, I guess, to me. Like, what are Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville really going to end up being? I have no idea. But
they're just going to lose because it's going to be just keeping the whole thing warm until Ronda and Shayna both heal because they somehow both got hurt.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize Shayna got hurt then too.
Shayna, I think it was her heel or her ankle by the end of the women's tag, because I mean they still won the match. They would have been the ones to beat Becky Lynch.
No.
And wouldn't it be Trish Stratus or not?
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, they're primed for a tag run. You know, Raquel will never be my favorite. But, you know, her and Liv are really trying. They're really trying here. And everyone likes Liv Morgan, so.
Yeah, they're kind of trying to quickly manufacture a rapport with those two. And yeah, it still seems a little bit awkward that you're almost doing the same tag team both in the men's division and in the women's division, and the two big people are dating each other. With Braun Strowman and Ricochet kind of having that big dog, little dog thing going on, and Raquel and Liv are doing the same act. But yeah, they did those two. I don't know if they'll stick around as a tag team, but it's probably better off if Meechan and Candice LeRae are a tag team at this juncture, honestly.
Yeah. But I mean, the division needs focus. It needs people to come together and stay together for, you know, some period of time, of more than a few months.
Yes.
People to stop partner shopping. It became a running joke of Liv, Raquel, Natty, Shotzi, Tegan, all, you know. Tagging back and forth with each other, and
even Rhea got in that shot this week, or maybe it was on some reel that I watched about her mentioning that her two ex tag team partners were fighting each other or something like that. It might have been in an interview, but because who she tagged with Liv, and who else did she team with? Because it wasn't Raquel, was it? Or was it?
I don't know. It was never Raquel. I don't remember. Who else they put. Rhea
was
with.
It just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Shotzi? I don't know. But anywho,
Yeah, so there's some teams that need to get together and
yeah,
get
stay together.
get some chemistry going, some matching gear, maybe a cool name, do some fancy double team maneuvers, and really gel and stay together for more than a year, I would say. 2 years.
Oh. Yeah, it would help if they'd really commit in this. Yeah, it holds the same for the men. Like, they either need to commit or they need to bring in the talent from NXT that they have to doing this thing.
I mean, everyone doesn't have to be the New Day and the Usos, but let's find some middle ground between we're putting people together and then we're splitting them apart in 6 months or less.
Or you're bringing them up, and it's just like, hey, you get to lose to the champs. Okay, well, what do I do after that? Oh, we'll just keep on paying you, and we'll keep you off TV. Okay. It is what their usual mantra is. And yeah, they need to solve that because yeah, the WWE still has plenty enough time to get all of this done. Well, I guess speaking of the ladies, staying on the ladies, what did you think of one Trish Stratus's promo this week on Raw explaining her actions of attacking Becky Lynch?
I thought it was. I'd have to go back and think about it, maybe rewatch some of Trish's 2000s promo work, but that might have been the best promo of her entire career.
Yeah, it was one where I'm like, did I mishear this? Because I saw it getting a lot of praise on Twitter afterwards, because I was a little bit behind, and I'm like, maybe I wasn't paying attention. I'll give this a second listen. And that it is the only thing that I rewatched from Raw this week. And I was just like, yeah, there's still something to it for some reason for me that wasn't quite completely clicking. I don't know if it's just because I'm just kind of going, well, I see the holes in her argument, and that's a little bit of a problem.
Well, she's supposed to, she's the heel. She's supposed to be
But yeah.
delusional.
And I don't know if it's just because. Like, she had a very understated but firm way of delivering it that kind of didn't quite do it for me, I suppose. There should be some good middle ground in that department. I guess offhand, I'm thinking of how I'm glad when Joe went from just Samoa Joe went from screaming all the time to the WWE's like, dude, you can be threatening and not have to scream all the time. And he's just like, oh yeah, that's good criticism. And I don't know why, but something kind of struck me as a little bit weird with the way Trish kind of delivered things. But yeah, it was still really enjoyable the second time that I watched, or yeah, that I listened to it. I'm just like, oh yeah, I think I missed some of this. I don't know if I had given it proper attention. I was glad that I did rewatch that. It should lead to a fun feud here with her and Becky Lynch.
It'll definitely be a fun feud. And you know what? The idea of the woman from the previous era, who was top dog then, coming back and being bitter and jealous about how much praise the women's division gets nowadays, how many opportunities the women get nowadays. When she can say that she had to fight and claw for everything she got, and
Yeah.
and there'd be a lot of truth to it. There'd be a lot of truth to how back then, And it got worse after Trish and Lita were gone, so and they stopped really taking women's wrestling, the actual wrestling matches seriously for nearly 10 years after that. I mean, it was always, even in the Trish and Lita's peak era, you know, they had to do the bikini calendar stuff. They had to every once in a while do a bra panties match, you know, in between them actually trying to have a serious division.
Yeah, they were not immune to those matches.
No, they weren't. And once again, they did the best that they could with a smile on their face to plow through and make it all work. But then, after they were gone, we had 10 years of just... I don't even know what the point of the women's division was, because, you know, they weren't allowed to be sexy anymore in the PG... That sexy anymore in the PG era. If anything, they're, you know, a lot of the handcuffs have been removed regarding wardrobe these days and age, while we're still getting serious angles and matches. So, you know, Trish and Lita weren't even a part of, like, the worst of the women. You know, like, Beth Phoenix, you know, was a part of that division that meant nothing, you know? She got her Hall of Fame ring and everything, but, you know,
it was a rough go of things after.
It was a rough go for any of the women who really wanted to seriously wrestle. You know, Trish and Lita got more opportunities than most. And Trish, once again, Trish being that person coming in and just being bitter and being jealous about all the success the women have been able to have, that she wasn't able to, the respect that she feels she didn't get. And No, it'll be some good stuff. I definitely, Becky, when Becky comes back and is able to fire off, that should be really good too. I know it's been talked about as a SummerSlam match. I don't know how unless Trish goes away for a while, I don't see how you get that match to SummerSlam. And I'm in favor of getting this out of, as good as it could be, I'm in favor of getting it out of the way in the spring and early summer, so by SummerSlam, Becky's a title contention. Particularly against Rhea on the SmackDown side of things.
Yeah, that's one that they haven't really run with, I don't think. Rhea and Becky.
No. So I would think that would be more what you'd want to do for SummerSlam instead of, dragging up Becky and Trish and then having to find someone else for Rhea to face. And that's not the...
Yeah, we certainly got enough, because I'm trying to think of when Money in the Bank is, but that's before SummerSlam.
That's before SummerSlam, not yet. Yeah, that's July.
And the Saudi Arabia show is going to be before that also. Memorial Day weekend or something?
Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be Night of Champions now. They'll be out in the early afternoon in the United States, in the good old United States, but it will be night in old Riyadh. So they're going to call it Night of Champions. I don't know if the idea of running a King of the Ring and a Queen's Crown tournament is being shelved, or if they'll still run those as, on the TV and just put the finals on the Night of Champions show. Not sure anything about that. But yeah, I mean,
those seem like two logical spots for that match to, like, if they're trying to save it for a bigger show, that was more of where I was aiming.
Yeah.
Like, those two seem like, hey, give the international audience a big match. And then, then you still have time to put Becky in line for contention on SmackDown.
Yeah, because right now, I don't know if I'm necessarily seeing Rhea's ideal opponent. Yeah, I don't want them to do any kind of a total unification stuff with Bianca at all, let alone anytime soon.
Oh.
Charlotte's going to be gone for a while, so you can't do that rematch. It looks like Zelina Vega is going to get the title shot because she's Puerto Rican, really because she's a Puerto Rican descent, and they're going to be in Puerto Rico, and she's not, and she's not going to win.
This is definitely one where they're just filling the, we know that she's going to do a fair enough job. We also know that, like you said, she's not winning. Like, everyone's going to know that ahead of time. And that's fine. I mean, what? It's Rhea's first title defense.
Well, yeah, no. Rhea should hold this thing for a while.
And I guess I just don't feel like there aren't too many champions that I feel like lead off their championship reign with a banger of a feud. I always feel like it takes a while for them to get into things before a good feud pops up. So, yeah, get her rolling and go from there. Get her rolling a little bit more as champion. Since she's still sometimes more of a Judgment Day side hustle than a champion. Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Anything else in the women's division, because I'm trying to think of what if they're really pushing anything with Bianca right now.
I mean, she had a really good match with the Dakota Kai, which of course she won. They're moving Io into title contention with Bailey, you know, passive aggressively jealous about it.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, and that's something that they need to have happen just to help the women's division in general.
Yeah.
They need more names in that mix. And Dakota Kai unfortunately looks like she's going to be left in the utility player position where she gets to have great matches and everyone loves her, but she doesn't really get into title contention.
Yeah, that's one thing where I size is going to be a factor against her, the strengths of certain other smaller women like Alexa Bliss, it's not gonna be the same for her. I don't know if she'll ever be top singles champion. But yeah, she can be a role player. She can be in the mix. Io, very, very good. Obviously I was at home in NXT, but more than time to move on.
Oh.
And so she'll get her opportunity here. We'll see where everything goes after the draft. Once again, because some of these factions and groups and teams can be split up without having them feud with each other, without having to turn anyone face or anyone heel, So
yeah,
because I don't see the value in turning Bailey face at this point, nor do I see either Io or Dakota doing well as faces.
Yeah, I think Io will do better as a heel moving forward. So the whole passive aggressive thing is going to work, I think, for the at least the near future here. It will be interesting, though. I guess you bring up a topic that, if I'm not mistaken, the draft starts on this week's SmackDown. Next week. So we still got a little bit of time here before things move along. I guess I was thinking that it was sooner.
And I guess the question that hasn't been answered yet is, are all of these groups going to be able to to stay together in the draft? Are you going to be able to draft the entire Bloodline, all of the Judgment Day? So this isn't fair.
They have done such nonsense in the past. I mean, I still think it's a little bit weird that some of the brands are like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna keep on picking tag teams. I'm like, well, you're getting extra bodies here, like.
You get to keep tag teams together. Because it makes no sense right now for any of the Bloodline to be on separate shows from each other. This storyline has to. Because they chose not to, put the storyline into its into its obvious crescendo at WrestleMania, We need to follow this thing through more.
Oh, yeah, we do. And
And it's definitely not time to break up the Judgment Day either. They
no,
went on a
no.
real roll as well. Their chemistry really came together after Dominic joined, which is, once again,
His
his
pri
transformation
his
during this time, I guess.
his prison stint really changed everything
Yes, it
for
did. It really
his
did.
character and that group. It really did help solidify things. I still think it's a little bit weird. I know why it happened, but Finn Balor sporting the 14 staples shirt, I'm like, yeah, I know that this is true fact. I saw the injury. It was gross.
It was definitely sucked more than more.
If you had told me the number was higher than 14, I would not have been surprised.
Yeah,
But
no, that was absolutely brutal what happened there. And
to me, that's more of a, I feel like that's more of a baby face move to have that type of a shirt on. Like, I overcame this. Don't really necessarily think that that's a heel shirt. I'm sure that's going to sell like hotcakes, though. So good for him for getting merch out the window. But yeah, I mean, Finn's kind of been. It's been kind of weird where Finn's the leader, but he still kind of says the least. And depending upon who's talking, anyone can kind of be the head of the group.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they were really deferring to Damian Priest a lot in the promos this week.
Yes, it sounded like he was the one who made the deal with Paul to take care of each other's business.
Yeah, oh,
Which
yeah.
once again, when the fun show long storyline to keep things going. I was not a fan in the end of the Judgment Day taking the pinfall loss. That was one situation time when it would have been fully appropriate for the Bloodline to have run in to cause disqualification, so that the Judgment Day didn't have to take a loss. Because
Oh.
if you're really looking at what Backlash is going to be, the Judgment Day storyline is actually more important than the Bloodline, especially since Roman Reigns isn't going to be on the show. So they really
Oh.
didn't need to take that. So they really didn't need to take a loss here. I mean, I guess it'll be fine in the long run, but
Well,
just
right.
a little thing I didn't care for.
Yeah, there, yeah. Recovery is not always ideal, but yeah, sometimes it's what happens when they drop the ball a little bit
Yeah, I
there.
mean, because the stuff with Bad Bunny is, a big part of what they're gonna sell Backlash. It's meanwhile the Bloodline is basically going to be in a glorified SmackDown match on pay-per-view. Hell,
Yes, it is.
the actual big match, the title rematch is taking place on SmackDown, not on the pay-per-view.
Oh. Yeah, which does make things kind of interesting. It will change the dynamic of the pay-per-view for sure if the championships change hands before then.
And I guess speaking of Backlash, the main event of Backlash became official on Monday night.
Yes, it did. Brock Lesnar really likes trips. Brock Lesnar always willing to travel. And Puerto Rico sounded like a good idea to him. So Cody
Yes,
Rhodes is Brock Lesnar main event.
He put on his best clothes to make it official. My God, I've never seen a human being look cooler than Brock Lesnar did last night, I swear.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like whatchamacallit, trench coats, not always that cool these days. I used to sport one a lot in high school. Brock Lesnar trying to bring back the old trench coat.
Wouldn't that be, but Brock's wearing be
More
considered
of,
more akin to an old-fashioned Western duster
yeah.
than a trench coat?
Yeah. They definitely have
Yep.
they're in the same family.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he had the duster and the cowboy hat. Brock Lesnar is an interesting man.
He is a very interesting man, and yes, and the level of personality he's shown on this return on this run since we're coming back in the summer of 2021, it's just been fantastic. The character evolution, the fits. I mean, you knew Cody wasn't actually gonna get anywhere near him because Brock wasn't getting any of those clothes dirty. Come on. I mean, that was probably a $500 jacket he was wearing, and probably what, a $250 hat maybe.
Well, the hats seem a little disposable just because previous hats seem to meet some gory endings around
But not
Brock
this
Lesnar.
one.
No, not this
Nobody was
one.
touching Brock Lesnar's hat. But yeah, no. Once again, good job hyping up the match.
Yeah.
Having Cody beat interesting for Cody. He never lost his cool during the entire run up to WrestleMania. Never let Roman and Paul get inside of his head. But the events of WrestleMania, combined with being beaten down by Brock, have left him an angry man, and he exploded on Monday night.
Yeah. Cody continues to play a very good role, and we can only hope that things kind of continue in a positive direction for him to possibly still be the one to defeat Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a path to get back here. They're playing this Brock stuff right. The finish of the match at Backlash is very intriguing. I could see it being a disqualification or a count out, even if the match is the main event and goes last. Or you could put Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny on last to give people a happy ending if it's not going to be the most satisfying ending because you want to keep it going.
Oh, right.
It's once again, Cody taking that second big loss versus Brock taking any kind of loss. It's a tough call, and again, it's kind of a ballsy match to book at this point. And I wouldn't surprise me if they try to, if they try to weasel their way out of at least having a definitive finish to this one, so they could, take it to Saudi or wherever.
Yeah, I would be pretty shocked if this were not at least a two pay-per-view feud.
Yeah.
If it goes three, wouldn't be completely surprised either. I don't think it's
No.
really going to go beyond that because Brock Lesnar's feuds don't tend to go that long.
Well, they spaced them out. In the case of course, Lashley, they spaced it out too much, and it just lost all its luster by the time
Yes.
they finally had their final match against each other.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah,
That was pretty
so,
bad.
but I'm pretty sure that between Backlash and SummerSlam, we're getting, two, maybe three matches between them. Everything depends on, what Roman Reigns' title matches. Roman Reigns is There's a possibility they would pull the trigger on the title switch in Saudi. It's a possibility. But in all likelihood, Roman's not even going to be not even going to be on Money in the Bank, much like Backlash. So Roman's making it to Lily SummerSlam with that title. And most likely, it possibility that could happen that they could pull the trigger in Saudi. But I'm doubting it. So he's holding those things till at least WrestleMania, unless they can figure out a way to get one of those belts off of him that doesn't involve him
Actually being pinned or
him
submitted.
actually being pinned. So he can just keep the Universal title forever if he if they want, I guess. But yeah, no, it's like Cody and Brock's an intriguing match. It's the biggest non-title match that they can, non-Roman Reigns match that they can headline a show with.
Oh.
So it's the perfect match to have on a show where Roman Reigns doesn't. It's weird. Roman Reigns is still in the ad for Backlash.
Oh.
And they've had weeks to pull him from it. If he's definitely not going to be in the show, but there's no indication that he has anything going on that show. So.
Yeah, he could still make the trip, take the fam, hang out, do a backstage segment. Who knows? There are possibilities, even if he doesn't wrestle. Look at the Usos disapprovingly after they lose their match.
Yeah, they could go in that direction. Yeah, if they can just follow through on him just being there and not even, if he's not going to defend the title or anything.
Yeah. I guess one last, at least for me, off the top of my head, the return of one Shinsuke Nakamura. Blip on the radar? Anything major gonna come of this, do you think?
I we'll see. I mean, he's being primed for a feud with Karrion Kross, so that's that's not the greatest news I've heard this week. He steamrolled over Madcap Moss and like I think either no or barely any offense. For some reason, Madcap and Emma are heels now, even though the week before they were playing video games with Xavier Woods. So no. I mean, once again, we'll see. Always glad to see Shinsuke. Always glad to hear his entrance music, watch his entrance, and watch him go. So glad to hear it. Glad he's back. Although I guess there's another one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
The excellent match between The Miz and Seth Rollins.
I've got to admit, not completely surprised.
No, they had good matches. They had good chemistry. I remember them feuding for the Intercontinental title about, it's got to be 5 years ago now, which is crazy, but that's what it was. So, they've had good matches with each other in the past. Miz is no slouch. Seth's on a roll right now, and if I had to guess who Roman Reigns' next challenger is going to be, I would guess Seth.
That is definitely a feud that is a little bit forgotten about, just because they've done a pretty good job of keeping them separated.
Yes, they have, and I think they realize they screwed up, and they want people to forget that the only Seth versus Roman match that's happened on this run, and with Roman losing by disqualification, the only match Roman Reigns has lost in any way, shape, or form in over 3 years.
They have definitely kept that part under wraps for the most part. I mean, him and Seth have had a couple of fleeting moments of interaction, but nothing too major. And I guess that is one that, I mean, Seth doesn't need it, but I could see him being the streak ender if they feel like going that route.
I could, you know what, at the end of that match with The Miz, I'm like, maybe Seth should be the guy at this point. I mean, he's incredibly popular.
Oh.
Arguably, maybe not as popular as Cody still, but, you know.
At worst, he's number two.
Yes, at worst, he's number two. And it's got to be one of those two. I mean, there is no one left. There is no one they could bring in like, they couldn't bring in Bron Breakker up from NXT and just immediately put him against Roman Reigns and win. He's not that guy. He still has a number of flaws in his game that he needs to work on. Do I think he could work on them on the main roster, you know, working his way up? Yes.
Oh.
But... you know, right. There is no one they can give the Goldberg push to, like right out of the chute on the main roster that would just captivate the audience and this is the guy to beat Roman Reigns. If anything, that was Cody Rhodes. of course, has all sorts of history on being on wrestling television for, you know, the last 15 years. So it's not even the same thing. But so I say, my point, there is no one in NXT who could be that guy to come up, to come right in and just start and just captivate the audience and just, you know, quickly, you know, beat Roman Reigns.
Yeah, as much as I like some of the talent down there, I agree. There isn't that one person. It's just like, oh yeah, I can see him being that guy. you know, Braun is probably the closest, but yeah, not happening. I really don't see that happening. I suppose anything else that on the front of your head about the main roster here?
Nope.
Okie dokie. Well, Bell Time Beer, continued removal of beers that were definitely old. And this one is from Sideswipe Brewing. I bought it nearly 2 years ago for the trip with the wife's family down to Tennessee. Sensitive Content. It is a tropical hazy IPA, 7.2% alcohol. Sideswipe, king of hazy IPAs in Columbus, in my opinion. They have the best, and every one of them is tasty in a different kind of a way. This one is, compared to some of their other ones, a bit lighter. Most of them are around the 9% mark and really hit pretty hard. This one, a little bit lighter, not quite as, even though it's tropical, it's not as over-the-top bonk-you-on-the-head tropical as some of their other ones. Very good, though. So should you happen to find yourself in Columbus, I always say find your way to Sideswipe Brewing. It is quite excellent overall. So that is my Bell Time Beer of the Show. That is from DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.